Welcome to the next episode of Comes Naturally Podcast. We're going to go into some business before we go into the show. So, Michael, take over, please.
Business. Again, as always, this is a fan-supported podcast? Not really.
No. It's a free podcast, though.
Free podcast supported by fans. It's a fan-supported podcast. But this is an absolutely free podcast, and if you like the podcast, you want to help us out, do us a couple favors. Please share us on Facebook, like us on Facebook if you haven't done so already. Facebook is the best place right now to get all the links to every device that you can listen to our podcast. It's all available through Facebook at Comes Naturally Podcast. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
Yes. We will also post all the links there every week when the podcast becomes available. And the biggest thing we would like you to do, most of you get our podcast through iTunes. And if you get our podcast through iTunes, please rate and review us on iTunes and also subscribe. If you subscribe to our podcast, you'll get it automatically for you every Friday morning when it becomes available. It automatically downloads, so you don't have to do any work for it. And if you rate us and review us, it just helps our positioning in the podcast world, kind of gets more eyes on our podcast, and helps other people find it that may not know about it without someone telling them.
Yeah, and if you are listening to us and you're using an Android device, I have a couple friends who have been using it. There's a really nice app you can get from the Play Store called Podcatcher, all one word. It works really well. And if you go to the Facebook page, that you can put in the RSS feed that's on the Facebook page, and automatically will add the podcast every Friday when they come out. They'll automatically download or be on your phone, so you can just hit it and download whatever you want. It's pretty cool.
And also, what I would like to start doing a little bit more of, if you guys listen to the podcast, you have any questions about the podcast or suggestions for topics, anything like that,
reach out to us.
Or keep them to yourself, which kind of defeats the purpose.
Oh, it's not where you're going.
No, we don't want to do that. Reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter, any platform that you're
reach out to Joe. To
reach us, and let us know what you guys think of it. Let us know if you got any other topics. Post on the Facebook, and we'll reply back and try to get some feedback for that.
All right. So now we're going started the rest properly. Of the show. All right. So Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. I remember my name this time. Our special guest today is
Spit Take Munger.
Eric.
Eric. Yay.
Spit Take Munger is your name now.
Eric Spit Take Munger.
You do it once.
Twice. You do it once.
Three
shame
times
on me.
A spit take.
gross and awesome all at the same time. All right, so today we are debuting another new segment we have come up with. It's called The Breakdown.
Which is. Reason this comes up is because of the breaking news as of today is Wednesday, so as of yesterday, which would be Tuesday, the news came out that they're planning a reboot of Predator.
Yeah.
Helmed, written and directed, right?
Written by Shane Black, originally in the original Predator movie as Hawkins, but it was directed by his partner in crime that he's done quite a few movies with, which is Fred Derrick.
Oh, okay. That's right. And Shane Black, if anybody doesn't know who Shane Black is, he's kind of like an action movie phenom, actually. Was he like 21 or something like that when he wrote the script for Lethal Weapon?
Yep.
So he wrote the script for Lethal Weapon 1 and 2 and got character credits for the rest of them. He written and directed Iron Man 3, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, writer of The Last Boy Scout, The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Eric.
Like that movie.
And maybe his best movie ever, Last Action Hero. Screenplay.
Or not.
Or, you know, everybody gets one.
Agree to disagree.
Also wrote Monster Squad.
Yep.
So his track record is...
Eric.
Great movie.
Eric, what's your favorite line?
Wolfman's got nards.
That's pretty good.
He said nards.
But yeah, Shane Black's kind of...
Legit as fuck.
Yeah, he's... If you want to reboot or start a new action franchise, this is the dude you want to go to.
And not listed very often on most sites, but is actually his uncredited writer of the first Predator movie. Because he wrote part of the script on that one. Rewrote part of the script, I should say. The screenplay. So uncredited writer. If you look it up, he's listed as one of the uncredited writers for, because they don't give you a full credit if you just make adaptions to the already existing screenplay. So pretty cool that way. So on the breakdown, Mike got into it. We're the reason we're doing the breakdown today. We came up with this new segment to break down the past and hopefully the future of the Predator movies. So we will be running down or breaking down our favorite parts and least favorite parts about all the Predator movies. So we'll run through Predator, Predator 2, both Alien versus Predator movies, and of course Mike's favorite Predators with his good buddy
Adrian Brody. Fuckface Brody.
It's like a loving term. It's like saying bitch to your wife or sitting together. right?
That's not how my marriage works out.
Oh. Yeah. It's only a good thing. It's okay, I get it. Yeah. Maybe. Okay.
But no, for real though, before we get started, fuck Adrian Brody, because that guy's awful. And the Predators movie, we'll get to it, but spoilers, that movie's fucking awful.
There's parts of it that are good, like
the end? The credits?
The credits.
There's parts of it that were
good. Topher Grace gets killed.
Oh god, he's awful in that movie.
Yeah.
Ugh, and what I'm a dangerous serial killer.
That 70s show?
That 70s show. Yeah. I mean, I like him, but just all
I prefer that 80s
done.
Show.
Really?
Oh, gross. So you're the one who watched the episode and a half that aired, huh?
Yeah.
That was a show?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just a joke.
No, that was a show.
I knew it was a show. Bet Fox played it out of order.
Yeah, they played it in the 90s.
Why does he look older in this episode and younger in this episode? Doesn't make sense.
Not seen. He had a beard. This scene, he doesn't. So we will start, obviously, with Predator. We'll go around the table talking about our favorite things about it, what we didn't like about it. So we'll start today with Eric Munger. Eric Spittakemunger.
Thanks.
Your thoughts, likes and dislikes about the original Predator?
I like the movie. I like the kill scenes, basically, by the Predator. I mean, the first couple you get just pieces from there, but I thought it was really cool from when the movie was released, how, I mean, you saw skin bodies, you saw skulls being polished, the whole nine yards, guts.
Polishing a skull?
I guess that could be dirty.
Masturbation, that's what I'm talking about.
But for the most part, it was a good movie. I remember seeing it in theaters, went with my dad.
It's a good father-son movie.
Yeah, you know.
Actually, I think I saw it with my dad in theaters, too, so...
How? You would have been like 5.
When did it come out?
87.
87?
Yeah. I was in high school.
You would have been 4. Why would your dad take you that when you were 4?
Maybe you saw it on TV then, or
okay.
Rented.
Holy Christ. Hey, me and my son, my 4-year-old son, we're going to go see Predator. Good movie? All right, let's go.
Oh, gee, how many times do we go to movie R-rated movies at 10 o'clock at night and there's still people with...
Your dad seems like a much better parent than those people.
Very true, but I'm just saying, there is a precedent.
Precedent?
Precedent.
Okay.
There's a president?
There was a president there? There was
Which
a governor.
One?
I know that much. Two of them, technically.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Michael, your thoughts. Did you say what you didn't like about the first one? Munger?
It was a good movie. As you know, it already
started. He's going to piss me off so bad here in a second.
I personally liked the second movie. But they were both good movies. I just prefer the city story.
The concrete jungle versus the real jungle.
Correct.
It's already been done.
It was on the poster.
Yes, I've already taken my beatings for this, and I'm sure I'll take more.
You will, sir. Right beside your dumb, stupid face.
Wow.
Mr. Michael Owen.
Your opinion's wrong. Wrong.
Wrong.
Whoa. His opinions are almost always not wrong.
Ish.
His thoughts are.
I love Predator. Yeah. This is one of my favorite action movies ever. Like it's up there.
I consider it a comedy. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's more of like a dramatic suspense
love story
between man and beast.
Yeah.
No, I really do love this movie. I love everything about it. It's got enough of the kind of that 80s. I don't want to say camp.
No, you have to.
But is it?
Yeah.
Is that the right word? Kind of that 80s action movie camp that people have kind of like gone away from for good reason, but it's fun for nostalgic reasons. I love the cast. I mean, Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, and Jesse Ventura. were the people, you know, that
chain black huge right personalities away. And just a
yeah, and the characters they played were super fun. I mean, even the characters in the movies for the guys who aren't like super known, like Billy was the giant Indian dude. He was badass. Mm-hmm. Was it Hawkins was the one Shane Black actually played.
Yep. Made one of the best jokes ever.
Yeah. He's the one that kept trying to get Billy
to laugh.
To laugh, which I say kept. You got the idea it was something that he's done all the time.
You see, like,
he says two jokes to him, but they set it up in a way so you know it's each like character's it's like, personality. Yeah. Like you, by the time you get to the point where they all start dying, you kind of know who they all are. Which I thought was kind of really good character development for an action movie, which you usually don't get. They all had little kinks. And the action in the movie was awesome.
The effects were good for the time, too.
Yeah. Well, not bad at mm-hmm. all, especially when he
pulls out Ventura's chest.
Yeah, gnarly. Actually, I watched it last night because in anticipation for this podcast and the fact that the news broke made me really want to watch Predator. So I watched it last night. And the graphics for its time were pretty good, but it was pretty funny. You mentioned the Ventura's chest explodes. Like, it happens, and Ventura stands there, and then it cuts away. You kind of notice that his chest is about 5 inches bigger than it was the whole time. And it's just like it's a
swollen.
Spray of blood.
Swollen.
Yeah.
Swollen.
Yeah.
You get shot. Upper body day.
Pumped up, you know? Yeah. Well, that fucking gun he was carrying around the whole time. It swelled the shoulders pretty good, too. But yeah, I don't have a bad thing to say about this movie. I think it succeeded in being exactly what it wanted to be. And I think it did everything how you should have done it.
Joseph.
I'm going to pretty much be a man of a few words here because I think everything's already
been
said.
So you're
going to
be you.
I thoroughly enjoy it. And unlike Mike, it's not one of my favorite movies, but it is just like... It is just like...
not like Mike?
Not like Mike, because he loves the movie. I don't
Not
love
like
it.
Mike. I don't want to be not like Mike or something.
So many negatives, which means positive.
So no. Maybe I do. I'm kind of confusing myself.
Not a shocker. Anyways, so not one of your favorite movies.
But it's a straight up good 80s action movie where nobody reloads, but somehow bullets are just flying everywhere.
But he runs out of weapons, though.
He runs out of weapons, yes,
he
does.
He has to start fucking caveman in that shit.
And which is starts getting into the scenes that I think I really enjoyed more. You know, he covers himself in mud to hide from the predator. The final fight between them is phenomenal.
Which is really just Schwarzenegger getting his ass kicked, but then, like, does enough.
Starts to outsmart him and then, like, runs out of ideas, but it's like... this isn't going to work no more. I'm going to do some shit. And like, yeah.
Throws out the clever line of "you're one ugly motherfucker."
All the lines, dude. There's so many.
One-liners. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I, like a nerd, I was bored while I was watching this last night. So I have like 13 Twitter followers, and I think all of them are fake except for Cody and Joe. I live tweeted me watching Predator on Blu-ray by myself. So it's like 30 tweets of me just keeping up. I don't know. I entertained myself, but that was one of the things that I noticed that the one-liners were fantastic from everybody. Like they all had good lines.
The whole helicopter scene in the beginning.
Yeah. Great. Mac was creepy as fuck, dude. Like he was the black guy that kept using the razor all the time.
Yeah.
Super creepy, but he had that little monologue after Jesse Ventura died, where he's talking to the predator, but like the predator's not really there, he's kind of just talking to himself. Oh, so creepy. It was done really well, though.
Well, yeah, so like I said, not my favorite. I really do enjoy it, and there really isn't anything wrong with it because it is a straight up 80s action movie. Your opinions, Cody?
I do agree with a lot of it except for Munger. So it is one of my favorite action movies of all time. It is goddamn American classic. It is the epitome of 80s action if you really think about it, you know. The biggest difference in this movie versus a lot of them is not that many, like, super hot chicks in it because it's, like, dudes in the, you know, in the fucking jungle and shit. What?
This is like
I thought that was your thing.
Well,
this is a rated R 80s action movie that didn't have nudity.
Yeah.
Which was a rarity.
It's because it was just straight violence. Like,
yeah.
rated R for goddamn that guy's got skin, you know, that sort of shit. Like Eric talked
violence
about, like,
and
you see, yeah, like you see a guy get skinned, it's pretty awesome. It's very, and it was very original, like for the time, because like a lot of those action movies were like, you know, human versus human stuff. Like they brought in like the alien aspect, and it was really cool, I thought. And it always like stuck with me because of that fact, and it was super badass. And
definitely a good choice on their part too, because if you've seen the original design for the alien, definitely a good choice of switching that up.
Yeah, that was gonna be bad.
Who was originally gonna be played by Jean-Claude Van Damme?
And he looked like a bug.
Gross.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, yes, that is. Yes. He filmed stuff for it.
Yeah, he wasn't like a bug.
They did screen testing stuff for it.
They didn't tell him, like, he didn't know what the role really was. He thought he was gonna be the antagonist to Arnold Schwarzenegger's hero in the movie, and he was gonna have a fight scene with him. Like, that was the main draw for him. But then, like, when he gets to start doing it, like, he basically realizes he's a stuntman. And he doesn't like the fact that he's like an alien in this giant dumb suit, and it's mocap. You know what I mean? And it doesn't work out.
They're
so
not
he bailed.
Show his face. So why even yeah. be in it?
But that's on like the producers and people who hired. Like, how does that not get mentioned to?
Yeah.
At the time, one of the biggest action stars in the world.
Not only are we going to put a mask on you, but we're also going to make you invisible more
and
than half
you're
the
not
going
to do kung fu.
But we do need somebody to do the splits. Can you do those?
But they realized it was a bad design that they had on the costume too. Because the creature had like bent legs, like a, it was supposed to be like a walking grasshopper or something. And
not exactly
it,
feasible
it,
back yes, then, unless you're Jim Henson.
Yeah, and it wouldn't look good
Winston's
running through
not.
The woods. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely a good choice of going with the alien they went with.
Fun little fact, though, that I did not know until I was reading this: Kevin Peter Hall, who played the Predator, was also a helicopter pilot at the end of the movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah, give him some actual
yep.
FaceTime.
Yep, you see his face, sort of, because he has the helmet a little down, so you can't really see it there in the big microphone. But that was him, so there you go.
Anyway,
don't swap away my finger.
Don't point at me aggressively like that.
All right, hey, guys.
Sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
Predator
anyway,
2, then?
Yeah, Eric's favorite 2? Movie.
Oh, my God. We're not giving you shit, but
all
it's not.
All I said was I liked that one better.
Yeah, you're stupid.
All right,
I'm sorry, you're dumb.
Again, the same thing. I think they followed along with the classic, the way that they killed everybody in the movie was phenomenal. Different ways. I mean, when you see the net,
I'm just saying, Predator 2. No, listen, I'm not making fun of you this time. Predator 2 is like a Lethal Weapon 1 reunion.
Crickets. Okay. Anyway, so it had Danny Glover.
Danny Glover.
Right?
Yeah.
Gary Busey.
Okay.
Boom, there you go.
Sorry, two people.
Reunion.
That's not a reunion.
Is there two people and they come together and
that's
boom, reunion.
That's an accidental meeting.
Yeah.
You're an accidental meeting,
Eric.
But like when you see the net actually get activated, I thought that was a cool scene. Mm-hmm. And a lot of different weapons this time. It wasn't primarily just using the blaster that's on his shoulder.
This Predator was a more of a badass for sure.
Definitely.
For sure.
I love the whole, and this one took
balls.
Damage.
He killed a whole lot more people too.
One of my
he had a lot more balls in this one because he was like obviously like in the jungle or out in the city and things like that. But
and one of my favorite scenes is when he breaks into the apartment, tears through the bathroom, and has to repair the damage done to his arm
that
was cut
gnarly.
Off.
He uses the stucco.
Yeah, and you basically see him having to repair himself because Danny Glover does that much damage to him. And that whole scene where he's trying to chase him. He's climbing up, the pipe that's connected to the building.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, you can tell he's pretty much just about beat and had it and just lucks out picking up the that blade to finish the job. And then all of a sudden, you see another 8 or 9 predators around the room.
They're like, oh, this dude dead as fuck.
Yep. And he's just okay, bring it on.
So you say, no, he goes, he looks around, he's all, okay, who's next? Like, just swag for days, dude. Like,
I just imagine like that after you hear,
one of
the first movies that Bill Paxton was into.
Oh, he's an early one. Yeah, I wouldn't say one of the first. Probably, early.
He gets killed. A lot of people get killed.
He's all game over, man. Game over.
Pretty much everybody except for the pregnant chick who had a speaking line died in this movie.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you get like Game of Thrones style. Oh, he had a line. Dead. He's going to die.
But it was just violent, even from that you had the drug lords that raging war in the street.
Yeah, the Haitians.
Yeah, it was a cool like little backstory to what was going on to add some more like intrigue and drama to it.
I guess that's what appealed to me about it sorry, and that's why I liked it a little bit better. Just a lot more to me, a lot more action going on.
You can have your wrong opinions. It's fine.
The whole scene where they're in the frozen meat locker there.
Yeah.
Running through trying to catch him. Same thing.
And his lasers are blasting at him.
That they're
awesome.
Tracking him. Yeah. So it was cool the fact that the government acknowledges that he exists and that's what they're there for.
I haven't seen that one in a while. They like made reference to the jungle one, right? Correct.
Yeah, because they found the gauntlet. Yeah,
and they have video of the heat, like being able to see it and not seeing it.
Yeah, like they find out that the predator sees and
they also tell you that. Yeah, they also tell it they knew it was in the jungle at the time, so there was like footage of them tracking the thing. And
They were waiting
to see what it could do, and like. They were, I guess, it's like you could say, studying the effects that or what it could do and stuff like that.
Which always led me to think, like, watching it, I'm like, man, they could have done a part three with both Glover and Schwarzenegger, which never happened. That would have been awesome, right?
Buddy film.
So your idea from last night? Them, you have them in like as like coming back in the new one. Never mind, you don't remember what you said last night. It's fine.
But one of my favorite scenes too is at the very end when they throw the. Flintlock pistol to him.
Yeah.
And again, so you see, you know how long they've been coming. I mean, the gun was like from what, the 1700s?
Yeah.
And I thought that
you
was kind of
gave
cool
him
too.
A souvenir, like, hey, you
well, they have
get
a trophy. Whole shrine yeah. of skulls that are right there. Yeah. You obviously, I think you do see the alien skull right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, there's even more skull.
There's one that looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. So you know that
there's one looks like a way big
universe.
Predator too, which is crazy.
I thought it was cool that he throws him the flintlock pistol from. Said, hey, we've been here for a long ass time, and we'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the ship.
Yeah, I like Predator 2 a lot. It's not my favorite, but no, I dig it. It was really good. I thought Danny Glover as a, you see him as in action movies with the Lethal Weapons, but this was a little bit more of a hands on. I think like.
It was also his own.
He was more the action star in this one.
As opposed to Mel Gibson was the action guy in Lethal Weapons. Gary Busey, this is like, right on the start of him going super ape shit crazy, so I think he did a pretty good job.
Before wrecking on his
motorcycle. No, it was after that, wasn't it? But I just don't think he's like really on ape shit.
He hadn't gone completely crazy yet. Cuz he still had the weird stare and shit.
He had the weird dreadlock Jamaican guy in this one too.
The Haitians.
Yeah.
But I don't want to spend a whole lot of time because I think Munger covered all the bases of really what it's about and everything.
Don't forget,
I liked
Adam
it a lot.
Baldwin was in it.
Try it, the Baldwin that's not a Baldwin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not a full blooded Baldwin.
Joe?
No, the same thing. I really enjoyed it.
Well, we're getting close to some
something.
Shit ones to talk about. Sorry. Yeah. I was like thinking of the next
some
one.
Some of my favorites.
I think it follows in the progression of a lot of 80s films of the similar type. I would just have to say Alien. You have that type of film, but you can't do it for the second type. So
you change
for
up
the second movie, so you have to change it up. And I think it does it a very, very good job.
They
of
changed
changing
up enough
it up
to make it different.
Exactly.
But the same.
Yeah. So it was more. It's just more of the same of what I liked from the first one. It's just a different setting, different characters. And you get a little bit more at the end with you find out that, the whole race of predators that have been coming to the Earth.
God damn it. Could have set up a third one so fucking well. Like, I'm getting so mad thinking about it. Like, they did the first two, like, exactly how you want to do a one and a two, and then you could bring them together for a part three, and they didn't fucking do it, man. Sorry. Go ahead.
But no, and like the first one, there's no problem that I have with it. Just it's a good all-around 80s action movie.
It's a good one.
Cody?
I dig it. I do like it a lot. I do prefer the first one more just because it's super crazy and it's always, going to be better. Just because it does have a different feel to it as well. Because, like, with the first one, the predators seem more, I don't know how to say, like, passive, I guess. Like he was slowly picking his targets until towards the end when he started just fucking murdering
like
all of them.
More of a skilled hunter.
Yeah, like he was more of the wait and kill. And then of course when they started fighting back, he started fucking murdering them all. The Predator and Predator 2 was more of like the balls out. I'm gonna fucking hunt you on your own turf. I'm gonna be out. I'm gonna go out in public. Like the when he's at the graveyard and he's talking. Like here's the little girl comes up to him. He wants some candy thing and he does it later and super creepy. Like he's he's more out there, and he's willing to be exposed more than anything else, and which is all a lot different than the first one, because the first one, until he realized that Schwarzenegger was trying to, was or Schwarzenegger was the target he needed, he really wanted, because obviously he didn't go after him, he didn't go after him, because he was, again, he was picking off the weak ones first. This motherfucker was just, like, dead on going after the biggest and baddest. Like, he took out the Jamaican guy and all that fun stuff, like, just went right after him, so... it did have a different feel to it, which I liked a lot. And obviously the budget was a little higher this time around. Much bigger cast, bigger area too, because they covered a lot of area in L.A. And stuff like that. I liked it a lot. The only thing I didn't like about it was the fact that somehow he didn't get fucking destroyed when he jumped off the back of the ship and it takes off. Like, you saw the smoke and the fire, you just put them toasted, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, but you're assuming it's a spaceship. I mean, it's a spaceship, so you have to assume that it has a different type of engine.
He should have been barbecued, I'm just saying. But that's right. Like I said,
it doesn't have to happen because of movie magic.
Movie magic.
Yeah, so I'm saying movie magic. I'm okay with it. But yeah, so I like that one a lot.
A lot, a lot.
A lot, a lot.
And so what's the next one?
So we're going to go in order. So next is Alien versus Predator. We were talking about this last night, I'll get to my point about what we were talking about last night. So we'll go with Eric again on this one. What were your, have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've unfortunately seen them all. This one was the one where they drilled the hole down to the cave in the ice, correct?
No, that's, a hole was bored by the laser. Correct. And that they're like,
it's the same. Yeah.
Then they go down the sled, release the aliens. And then the girl ends up being somehow the only one that survives. So even the trained soldiers are annihilated first, but yet she somehow fights her way out. Yeah, no. Didn't like it.
Without even the caveat of being pregnant, like the chick from Predator 2. She was just
She did have some alien armor, though.
Yeah, made for her by a skull. Made for her by a Predator, which kind of makes sense in a way, because she's not a threat to the Predator, so he wouldn't go after her. But, like... the thing that got tricked me is like he made the shield, right? And somehow the bone, like that the bone of the xenomorph's head was strong enough to be a shield. But like earlier in the movie, like bullets just going through him. Yeah. I was like,
well, it was just for the blood, acid, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I was like, from that, but I was like, come on, like they were getting shot earlier.
I think the only reason he ended up getting her help was the fact that his two teammates went down. Leaving him on his own, knowing full well that you can't take these things on by yourself. So it was kind of more.
No, but you'd turn and run.
He picked her up.
I got my little blaster thing. I'm out this motherfucker. You know what I mean? So graduation day. It's here.
You got my back. I got your back. Till we get outside, then I'm gonna take your skull.
I got your back until I got an alien queen tail through it. Yeah.
That's the ending I would have liked to seen with him just her thinking he's gonna thank her and then him just ripping her head right off.
Well, that wouldn't really go along with. With like the second one though, like I feel like the Predators. All right, are you done? Sorry.
Yeah, okay. It was not good.
Here's what bugs me about this one. One, I love the first two Predators. I love the first two Alien movies, and I thought this was an awesome crossover, especially for that they planted the seeds in Predator 2, and I thought that was kind of cool. You know, a little Easter egg for people. And it had a lot of cool ideals in it. The ideals that the Predators have found a xenomorph and they're using them as basically like a hunt, like a basic training, if you will,
Type of thing.
Yeah, kind of like hey, you guys get through this, you're in, I love that ideal. I thought it was cool. A lot of the ideals having Bishop in it. I thought that was a cool throwback to the Alien movies, and I was like, it makes sense because Bishop was fucking,
I didn't even put that together.
Yeah. There's a lot of awesome stuff in it, ideal-wise, and tidbits. It's like somebody who gave a shit wrote it, and then somebody who didn't give a shit rewrote it. Mm-hmm. And there's only parts of, and I don't know if that's the case or not. I'd probably look it up and find out, but
I'll give you some details on that when it gets to me.
Okay. But yeah, a lot of cool ideals, but just poorly executed. And like, I was so excited to watch this movie. I remember watching it in theaters and I remember thinking, all right, dude, big alien xenomorph fight coming, or predator and xenomorph fight coming up.
Nope.
And it was like, literally like, one xenomorph killed a predator, one predator picked up a xenomorph by the tail and threw it. Like, that's the fight scene between them. Like, and I don't get upset at the, I kind of like the idea of the last remaining human and the fact that a predator is by himself is like, okay, you have to help, I'll help you kind of thing.
But it would have been cool to see like an onslaught, like you were saying, like a full on battle.
But yeah, so I don't know. But it was just so many things wrong that they didn't execute in at all. So that's my thoughts on that one. But not the worst out of all of them.
Well, not Baby Bird. Worst. Well, Baby Bird. We'll get there.
No, and that's how I'm going to start basically my thoughts on it is that it is the most watchable of the Alien versus Predator movies.
Both of them, yeah. For sure.
Or Predators.
I'll throw that in there, even though I honestly haven't seen Predators. Honestly haven't.
Don't worry about it.
But like Mike said, it had so many cool ideas behind it that they were starting to flesh out why the Predators were coming to Earth, that they were coming for more of a, you know, coming of age type of thing, that they come here to train. It explains, you know, the whole, you know, Mayan temples and why there are pyramids throughout the whole entire world. You know, they're actually hatcheries for alien eggs, and that's where they go to blah, blah, blah. So it had so much behind it. The Weyland Corporation was in there, just kind of give you a hint of, well, you know, this is where it all begins, even the Alien movies possibly. And then it's just not interesting. And I can tell you one reason why is it, you went from two hard R movies to a PG-13. They were really trying to make this for probably toys, which honestly you already had from the original movies.
See, you can do PG-13 and be okay because there's no blood. Like
you can.
But
I do think that, you know, like Mike said, it seems like somebody made the first draft, which would have been completely awesome, probably a hard R, and then they went back through it and said, you know, we would really like to have a PG-13 version of this. And so they brought on somebody else who didn't have so much love for the original series and decided to do something else with it. And that's what you get.
Kind of going back to what Mike said, too, the same thing. You're expecting this all-out, like, battle, huge fight. And
that's how they played it in the trailers, too. Yeah. I remember the trailers were like, you know, five predators on top of the pyramid, and then all the aliens rushing to it. And then that happened. That was
once
like
they get in there and get their weapons, it's like 5 minutes and two of them are wiped out already.
Yeah.
It's like, really? That's the best that obviously these three guys were sent here for a reason.
Yeah.
And two of them are pulled out right at the beginning of the fight? Come on.
Yeah.
Cody?
Yep. Cody?
All right. Yeah, settling here. So, I am a huge fan of both Predator and Aliens. So I thought, oh my God, they're going to be in a movie together. Greatest thing ever,
as
right?
A lot of us thought.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay, so early days of the intronet, I looked up a lot of stuff because I like to spoil stuff for myself because I'm an idiot. So I go on and I read a bunch of stuff, and I was telling Joe about this last night. There was a script that was leaked online that when you get those, you always have like the grain of salt, like, oh, might not be real. And then it was like pulled, and like it was said, like that was one of the original scripts that was put out, and it was fucking awesome. So when they pulled it, I got super excited because the idea behind it was this. So the story is very much similar to the one we got in the movie. Okay, so the idea, and they explain this in a way that in the script was shown instead of told. So like they didn't say, so these predators were sent to our planet. It wasn't like that. So what they did is they showed you, it was like Mike was saying, kind of like a graduation thing. So basically there's all these tests these predators go through. So the three that survived and basically got to graduation, their graduation part was they got to get their plasma laser or plasma weapon of choice because they were all kind of different. So each test they go through, they get a new type of weapon. So that's why they had a certain amount of weapons on them already, because every test they went through on a different planet or a different area, they earned that weapon. So they earned the spear, they earned the claw, they earned the blade, things like that. And then eventually this particular one, which happens to be the last one, they get it. So in the beginning of the movie, in the script, they actually show the end of a battle on another planet with another type of alien life form that they were hunting. And so then their final one is the most deadly of all aliens they've ever run into and encountered are the xenomorphs. Because as we all know, they're fucking hard to kill, and they're goddamn durable. Like they're a tough goddamn bad guy, as Ripley knows, and as well Predators know. So the idea was that they would go there and they would show off. So the other half of it that was super cool in the script was the groups that went into the temple under the ice were a lot bigger. So the big excavation crew was a massive group of people. So in the movie, they explained it by all these people were dead in the tents. Originally, in the original script, they were all alive, and they went down as a team. And the team, what they were going to do is, as they went in, certain groups of teams would go, and they would then excavate the different areas inside the temple. Because when they did the X-ray of thermal vision, they could see there's different sections of the temple. So they were having these teams, pockets of teams, go and excavate those and find out what they do. And they had the main group that was going to go through the main thing to get to the main chamber because they couldn't see it on the thermal imaging. So they wanted the bigger team. Then the other half of it, the mercenaries that show up, were there to plunder weapons because they were the same group from Predator 1 and Predator 2. So Gary Busey's team, that's who that actually was.
Oh, okay.
So the leader of that group you never got to meet. They always talked about the guy in charge that you never got to meet in Predator 2. So he was the one that that sent Schwarzenegger's team in the first one. He sent them in to fight this so they get information on him. And then that's when they, you know, obviously did they filmed him and saw what he did. And they're the same thing. They're the team that are trying to catch the Predator in the second one, Gary Busey's team. Then in the third one, they're the ones that basically they went down. They were going to take, basically, they were going to use the excavation team to find all the stuff and then just take it all. And so that guy who was going to be in that movie was actually going to be the dude who started what turned into the Colonial Marines were in the Alien movies. So that's where they branched the two together. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Waylon was in it, who was he used the prototype of Bishop. In the original script, the Waylon that died in the temple was actually a cloned android. So he had a cybernetic brain, and his body was a clone of the original Waylon. So it was the very first version of what would become Bishop.
Okay.
So again, now branching out to aliens again. And then the difference with the Predators is there was actually supposed to be like 10 or 15 of them that survive. And there's three different factions. So there's three different types of Predators. As we saw in Mike's favorite Predators, there was different types of Predators. Like the one that had hold captive was like visually smaller and had different type of weapons. The idea behind it was the three different teams had to fight their way through and make it to their weapons of choice. And that's why there's only three weapons, because they all look different. It's because each one had their own. So the first team to make it to their plasma weapon got it and was the winner of the challenge.
Okay.
That was the idea. Then the whole aspect of the aliens was they're supposed to get in and there's certain traps. If they don't do it right, the aliens get released. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So the idea behind it was you have the very large, like 30 or 40 group of the excavation team goes down, mercenaries show up, and there's a bunch of them too, like 25, 30 of them. Huge amount of mass. Like, that's just a shit ton of death, right? Like, just the thought of that, I was like, so many deaths. And what happens is the first group that goes into one of the chambers releases one pod of xenomorphs. They come out, start fucking people up, right? Well, the Predators haven't shown up yet. They're still on their way. Because remember, they shut the beam down?
Yeah.
And that ship is an overlord ship that's basically watching it. And the other teams haven't got there yet, so their ships haven't come into orbit yet. So they open it up. Team goes in, and they're like, oh, hey, like, we have this temple, blah, blah, blah. So they go through, and they release the aliens, and then someone, they break into the main chamber, and when they go in, the main group looks in, they see the queen, like, all chained up, and they realize it's a machine, and all she's there for is to give birth, and basically just feed more and more of them in. They're like, what the hell's going on? And then all above them, in the script described, all above her, all these chambers start opening, and xenomorphs just start flooding out. I was like, oh my God, so much death. It's going to be amazing. And so it would be a battle between like the mercenaries and the excavation team would be fighting for their lives against all these xenomorphs. And then boom, all these Predators show up and it's just a big fight. And then the Predators realize, hey, the humans aren't that big of a target. Like, they weren't our target in general. It was more of the exercise to get our weapons. But now we had like the xenomorphs are here. We knew they were here. If we didn't do our right things right, it would come out. They're out. So we have to fight them. So it's like this big clash, just boom, bloodshed and violence. And oh, it was getting amazing. And then, of course, the movie came out and we saw how they handicapped it.
And it wasn't any of that.
Yep. And at the end, they showed the thing with the alien weapon or the Predator weapon in it. It was the pistol that one of them had that they captured and brought back to the Whalen Corporation.
So, like I was assuming, somebody who gave a shit and knew the source material between the original two franchises
and we're trying
went
to build
through
to
and did an awesome fucking script, and then on the rewrites, it got diluted down to bits and pieces of what could have been cool shit.
So, mind you, Predator versus Alien, or Aliens vs. Predator, $60 million budget. Okay, so let's go back to Predator, $15 million budget.
Yep.
Predator 2 had a $35 million budget. But somehow on a PG-13 movie, you have a $60 million budget, but somehow made $172 million in the box office. Yeah, goddamn PG-13. That's why they keep continuing to make them. Second one, PG-13.
Because the junior high kids can get in without their parents having to buy
tickets. And they're like, oh, it's so good because it's got violence in it. No, it's not good. You're going to grow up to watch Fast and Furious and the X-Men movies, and that's what's wrong with society, all right?
All right, so, and these next two will go really quick because there's nothing to be said about them. But the next one would be Aliens versus Predator Requiem.
Requiem.
I don't know.
He's tab retarded, right?
I went kind of tarred there for a sec. So this one was rated R. It's like
barely.
Yeah, but it's like they were like, oh, maybe the PG-13 thing didn't work. Let's try rated R. And Munger, thoughts?
Sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just the worst fucking one ever.
It was like just chaos every direction you turned.
No, they had... See, the thing about it is they send this super badass Predator down, right? There are hardly any xenomorphs. Like this hybrid one that came out, which was in theory, again, was super badass and started impregnating all the people with, like, xenomorphs, right? So he's going to birth more xenomorphs. They come out and, like, he's just... has this magic serum that can just get rid of any evidence of alien. Like, he has this little vial of blue liquid that he just, like, the pool. Just dumps in the pool. Like, if you had that, why didn't you just disperse that and just eliminate all of them?
The only entertainment factor is just that it does, the Predator's just killing anything.
Yeah.
People, animals, whatever gets in his way, he just fucks up. And then, yeah. Which is the only... good part of this movie,
well,
if you can call
that,
it good.
And then you finally, you're gonna get to the part where you know he's gonna fight the hybrid, and when you get to that point, he gets handicapped because he gets beat up by a bunch of the xenomorphs that he ends up killing. So he is handicapped fighting this already dangerous fucking bad guy and a xenomorph slash predator. That thing is terrifying. It looks like a predator, has the ability and agility of an alien. That's fucked up, you know what I mean? Like that, he had the tail with the fucking spiky thing on
it.
It looked
cool, but you didn't even like. They didn't even show it.
Well, that's the thing. That much. Then, either. So you're like, oh, okay, cool. Even though he's handicapped, it's a pretty cool fight, right? Nope, complete fucking letdown, dude. I was like, really, guys? Like, you build up all this, and that's what you fucking get?
Yeah, I think we're spending way too much time on the movie. Blew ass.
I'm done with it,
Joe.
I'll sum everything up in the fact that I laughed at a little kid getting a face hugger.
Yeah.
Getting hit with a face hugger. That I laughed.
And if I remember,
I should not be laughing at that. This should
no,
be because
you don't laugh in the
horror
aliens,
movie.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. This should be more of a horror movie, and I laughed at that. And I
laughed at the one scene too. Isn't there the scene where the guy looks around the corner, something, his head gets blown clean off, and just pulps?
Yeah. That sounds like something that would be in this movie. Yeah. Yes, I have forgotten
I'm
most
just
of this
like,
movie.
What the hell?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I watched it in theater because as much as I was disappointed with the first Alien vs. Predator. Sometimes when you try to do that, and then I saw the fact that it was rated R, and in the trailers they showed the cool fucking Predator Xenomorph mix, and that right there, I was like, rated R, I see this cool mixture, it's a sequel, hopefully they fix some of the mistakes, and they didn't. It's like it's like they just kind of threw together like, oh, characters, yeah, and try to make it. But yeah, the movie sucked ass. Cody, sucked ass, right?
I already told you. We were talking when you guys
so,
were log gagging over there.
So the next one would be...
No, I was honestly, just as a side note before we move on, I was trying to find Alien versus Predator Requiem on IMDb. I typed in Alien versus Predator Requiem. Doesn't even find it.
Yeah.
Mike goes, hey, just type in AVPR. Like literally one word, AVPR. Found it. I was like,
pops
what
up,
the Because
that's
fuck?
The title. The title is AVPR.
Yeah. Dash. It's yeah. not the title, but that's what they put it as.
Anyway.
Yes, all the time. I realize that. So, Predators, Eric.
Was basically like a reverse Predator movie.
Predator 3.
Yeah, and it was basically just a reverse rather than you have the alien hunting on...
Oh, no, it's pronounced retard.
Well, you're saying.
Oh, reverse. Okay, yeah.
They bring the prey to the Predator versus the Predator going to the prey.
Yep.
And it was, and again, it just that whole... Yeah. Didn't like it.
Yeah.
And it in this sucked one, you got to see two different predators fighting each other.
Mm-hmm. A little, huge fucking letdown. I thought that was going to be
a big one.
a saving grace to the movie I'm watching it.
Was it Lawrence Fishburne that went crazy in the spaceship?
Yeah, because he had been on the planet for a while.
And that,
talk to himself like a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
Was had no problem, by the way, killing things.
Yeah.
But ran. I was like, you ran out there to save them. Now you're run. I don't. What?
They should have released the writers, the directors onto the planet and let them get.
That would have been good.
Well, it was produced by what I thought was going to be a good point of it, Robert Rodriguez. But the guy who directed it, Nimrod, pretty much summed it up how they made that movie because he's a fucking idiot. He ruined what could have been easily an amazing movie, but nope. Well, the casting, first off, was atrocious, except for Danny Trejo, because was pretty cool, but he got fucking...
Well, even Lawrence Fishburne is a good actor, where you see it and you're like, okay, that's, you know, intriguing. And then the old MMA fighter, Oleg... Yeah, something. Used to be a Pride fighter. He's in it. I thought that was kind of cool as an MMA fan because he's been doing movies for a while too. But yeah, you see the casting and the biggest fucking glaring problem right off the jump is Adrian Brody is your lead in this action movie.
But he was a super awesome ex mercenary.
Oh, okay.
Or ex military mercenary. Yeah, like he's.
And
so after he played the piano for a while,
he picked up a gun.
I think it's funny that you bring that up. Like Adrian Brody is like your number one thing, but Topher Grace as a serial killer, shouldn't stand up as a worthwhile target.
No, exactly.
Because he doesn't kill people. He fucking drugs them and then kills them. It's not like he hunts them down. Like he doesn't. He's not like a sniper. He's not an ex-military. He's not a fucking Yakuza. He's a goddamn coward.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you pick him?
So, again, the ideal of the movie, kind of cool, kind of interesting. You get all these people together who are
supposed to be badasses.
Bad people and, you know, badasses, but also bad people. They get taken to this planet, which I don't know why they would have to choose people who had, like, all of them had something to hide as you, like, fuck you.
That's because they wrote it in that way. They're like, we're going to develop characters.
That's dumb.
They're fucking fodder. We know that already.
But yeah, everything was wrong with this movie again. And Adrian Brody and Topher Grace are like your two big fucking lead characters. The samurai guy was kind of cool, and I thought,
except for the fucking scene where he dies.
Yeah,
they get bitched out. This black is a silhouette. I'm like, he's about to fucking samurai fight a goddamn predator. Let's see this.
Yeah, and they don't even let you see it. Lightning crashes.
I'm like, you fucking pieces of shit.
Like, you could have, I
get the idea, because
that part
could
have been cool.
That's like a trope for old samurai movies, is the fighting and lightning. But it was like not done very well because you couldn't see shit when it went to the silhouette, because there wasn't much of a silhouette. It was like you saw more of the fucking trees in the background than you saw them. I was like, you guys you're doing it wrong. You're supposed to see the trees, and they're supposed to be the silhouettes.
And again.
But
another part, you're thinking two predators are going to fight, could be fucking awesome, and they totally shit the bed on that one, too. But yeah, I hate this movie, so, Joe.
I never saw it. I remember seeing the trailers for it when it came out and thinking it might be something pretty good, but it never got me into the theater.
Just,
and
next time you take a shit, look into the toilet bowl, you'll see it.
Oh, hopefully that shit. Hopefully that turd has a big nose. Be like, Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody.
I just took an Adrian Brody.
That's what I'm going to refer to it as from now on.
If it's small and slimy, it's a Topher Grace.
Wicked Adrian Brody.
Hey, guys, I got to go walk my dog. He's got to go take an Adrian Brody. But what pisses me off is like I fall into this trap of like I will watch anything that says Predator on it simply for how awesome the first two and what the potential that it could be. And it's burned me three times.
He
now.
Watched all the seasons of How to Catch a Predator, never once saw
no fucking Predator at all.
Not a single one. Just a bunch of fucking pedophile losers.
A bunch of them look like Adrian Brody. Does that count?
No, that was Adrian Brody.
Oh, was it?
Touche.
He's like that. The never mind. I won't go into that story.
Well, you saw the Robot Chicken one, right? Where they did How to Catch a Predator, and it was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
it was made me laugh. Did you ever see that one?
All right.
Yes, and I do.
We don't.
All right, so on to the main course here. So
the good.
That was the breakdown we went through.
Down the movies. And now we kind of go into...
to the rumored and fun stuff. So, like
Mike
was saying...
We could right all the wrongs.
Yep, so Mike Mike brought up earlier. So announced yesterday, June 24th, 2014, if you're listening to this in the future, hopefully, they announced that they're doing a reboot of the Predator franchise and writing the script. First it came up as writing, directing with Shane Black, and then the details actually came out that the people who are doing it are Shane Black and his writing or his directing or his buddy who worked on almost all the other films with him that he's done, Fred Decker, is directing. So it'll be directed by Fred Decker, and it'll be written by Shane Black. So we are going to go through and talk about what we want to see in it, what we think about what they should do and things like that. So we'll start with Eric Munger. What would you like to see this one be? So it's a reboot.
I would just like to see the combo thing between the first two.
Okay.
You know,
like maybe a spillover from the jungle to the...
Maybe you see, yeah.
Or maybe even from starting the city and like they chase him out to the jungle or something.
Vice versa, or chase your way in. But yeah, definitely, I think because the first two obviously was everybody liked. Regardless of what movie you liked first, they were both good movies.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees on that. I think you make it a combination of those two, but make it, I mean, not try to follow either one of each one's script.
Yeah, I don't want to see a remake.
Right.
I want to see, we were talking about it yesterday a little bit, Joe and I.
I want to see something different.
It would be cool to see how they would cast a remake of the original Predator. Mike is just shaking his head like a fucking madman.
There's so much good shit.
But do you want to see one Predator, a single Predator?
So
or
if
multiple?
It's called Predator, you'd want to have one.
Yes.
Like, I think what they should
do an aliens thing.
Yeah, so like you should do Predator, then Predators, not Predators. Don't remake Predators. I'm not saying that, Mike.
Don't do that.
Yeah. But you go from one, and then you go to maybe two or three, and then you, like, the third one, you'd be like, oh, we're going to go to the Predator home planet. That's a bad fucking idea, by the way. Adrian Brody. I'm going to go to the Predator home planet. No,
that is how that ended, huh?
Well, they were going to, then the ship was sabotaged, so it blew up, but that's what they were going to do. I was like, no, you don't want, no.
What's your plan there?
Yeah. You have no ammo left. We know that. You barely survive these ones, and you want to go to a planet full of them?
I'm going to nuke it for more of it. It's the only way to be sure.
It's like you're a fucking idiot.
Earth.
But away from that. So,
ouch. Gross. Get out of here.
I'm just saying. Question for you, Eric, on yours. Yeah. So do you want to see a complete reboot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I know you're bad with like directors and things like that.
Well, it already has a director.
But what I'm saying is he doesn't really pick that stuff. Is there an actor or actors you would like to see in the reboot of Predator?
Again, whoever they pick, just mix it up a little. It's kind of like, because that was the appeal in the first one, was you had a wide variety of different action types. Like, you had a big guy. You had a couple scrawny guys.
You had a bunch of big guys, really.
Yeah, but again, you had a couple of smaller guys that really didn't look like they were action heroes.
And they were taken out first?
Correct. So just a mix of different newer actors. You can probably even put some old ones in there. Maybe do a little Expendable. You know, get a couple of older guys in there with new guys.
Expendables versus Predator.
Which totally could work,
Mike just got the biggest erection ever. So anything else you want to see? Like any fun homages to the originals?
No, I think definitely where special effects are now.
Yeah,
you have the potential just to make this movie look awesome. I really do think, though, I would prefer to still see somebody in a costume rather than CGI. So don't just make the alien non-existent. I think it would just be awesome seeing.
Okay, well, here's the thing. As much as those last Predator movies sucked, the Predators looked good, though.
Like, oh, yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
You could totally do it just like that. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I would like to see
them in a costume.
Yeah, I would like to see some of, like, I like to see kind of what they did with the Man of Steel one, like where it's a dude in the suit still, and they would just CG
stuff to him.
You know, like he could still have a blade and stuff like that, but like the laser could totally be CG'd. So, because like in the first one, the laser was like super bad puppetry.
Yeah.
It was like,
but again, there's been a lot of advancements since then, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure since 87. Couple things have changed.
But I think that would be the coolest thing, is like I was telling you earlier when I watched Wolverine. All the effects in that movie looked awesome.
Except
for the bear. It's like, what the hell were you thinking? The samurai at the end, awesome while you're watching him fight.
But it made no sense, but it looked awesome.
Was completely horribly done. Yeah, both the puppet and the CGI bear that they made.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Mr. Mike, we're going to run over.
I was looking at the time.
Don't worry about that.
This one's probably going to go like 120, 130 maybe.
It's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so my initial thoughts was like the first thing, and I don't, if they do a reboot, cool, but I thought instantly remake. And I was like, okay, there's a lot of fun to be had with this cast. And I really honestly think remake would be a fun way to go. You twist things up a little bit, obviously modernize it, but I think the biggest thing I would do is I would like to see a Predator, again, you know, first Predator, he's more basic. He had the one plasma gun, they had the blade, and you know, that was
spear.
Yeah, and the spear, but he didn't have like a whole bunch of advanced weaponry. I think that is the stage you need to go. And then, you know, you modernize it now, but I think instead of, like, I think I want it to all lead to, at the end of the movie, there's two people left, and they have to go basically against the Predator, and they're all basically out of weapons. And so it turns into just a brutal, gnarly fist fight at the end, 2-on-1, because the Predator's got the advantage because he's a lot fucking stronger. He's
an alien.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, that's what he does. But if you set this up right, you can have the two guys that are left, whoever you use casting are, you know, they're doing it. They're trying to, you know, get on the same page to beat the guy at the same time. I think that's, like, in my head, that's what I instantly thought about seeing. And then you could just do so many awesome things with the cast, too, at this point. So many people.
Is there anybody, like, that you think of?
Yes.
My hardest thing, because I have, like, literally just a two-person list of who I came up with last night.
Two people.
Well, because it's so hard, which is what I'm going to ask Mike. Who would you cast as Arnold Schwarzenegger's scene or part? Because it's so difficult.
Cody knows who I'd pick, right?
The Rock?
Yeah. But I know you guys are going to be like,
no, he honestly, ooh, fucking Rock all the time. He honestly came up in last night's discussion. I just don't know if I would put him as Schwarzenegger's character. I was thinking more of Billy's character.
You would have him be a Samoan instead of a Indian, but like that role. Oh, my
like
God,
a Samoan,
dude.
Like ancient warrior.
Yeah, dude, Maui warrior. And stuff. Oh, you get tats, and he'd be like, at one point in the movie, you see when he gets like pissed off, just pulls off his
and
fucking.
He does a war dance.
Dude,
at one
yeah,
point,
he does a Maui warrior chant. Oh. Like fuck,
but he has to be one. I like that. That's cool. You could do that, Dutch or Billy. That's awesome. Either way, the other guys I think of, Gerard Butler,
as
Dutch.
Okay,
could be, you know, the one left over.
That's good.
Joe Manganiello, I thought instantly as the Jesse Ventura type.
Yep.
Do you even want to keep the same character names?
Well, I want them to have that kind of persona, you know.
Yeah, he wants that. He doesn't want them to be him to be Dutch, him to be Billy, but he wants those iconic roles from the original recasted and retooled for the remake of it.
And then with the other guys, cuz there's still elements of, I mean, they're still badass soldiers.
Terry Crews.
Yeah, Terry Crews would be awesome in it. Like, again, he's another, he could totally be Mac, because he's basically, you take his character from Gamer, and bam, you got a modern day Mac, and he would be creepy as fuck and still be awesome.
All greased up all the time. Like, how the fuck does someone get so greasy?
Why do you have so much Vaseline in the jungle, buddy?
Not sweaty, greasy. Like, how do you do that in this jungle? Go ahead. Anyway, so go ahead.
You have all these casts. The one thing I was struggling with a little bit is who do you cast in the two smaller guys, Hawkins and I'm fucking blanking on the other character's name. Anyway, that's not important. We'll figure it out. I was having troubles with those because I want to see a visible difference between those two.
Who would you have in the role of Billy Dee? I mean, Billy Dee.
Billy Dee, Apollo Creed?
Yeah, Apollo Creed.
I don't know. I mean, you don't. I just like the combination of the actors that I've said. Like,
Billy Dee, Jesus Christ.
You could do someone slightly older.
I was thinking like someone who would be. So if you went, obviously, Gerard Butler, older. Terry Crews, older. The Rock, older. But I was thinking maybe someone like older than them.
Yeah. I was thinking.
Like someone who would like. See, the thing with Apollo Creed, as we like to call him, the thing with his character, he was of the same age as them. But he was supposed to be this like senior officer
like
in a way.
He was a CIA guy. Yeah.
So like, I would like to see someone of an older, like, not like,
not
Clint
can't
Eastwood
handle
old,
yourself,
like,
but
yeah, like,
yeah,
like an almost like in my head, I picture like an Arlie Army, but he would just be too old at this point, I think. But someone like that type of thing, like Art of the Army, like from like a couple years, like a bunch of years ago, like that kind of guy was like, he was a war vet, and now he works the CIA, and like he's like running this would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Is that all you got?
Yeah. Who? Well, the two other guys.
We got Poncho.
Poncho.
And Hawkins. I was thinking, one of the two would be more of a tech guy, right? Like a tech guy. Yeah. Like Poncho. Like. Poncho was the tech guy, right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hawkins was the one that set up the radio.
Yeah, because Hawkins was like the demolitions dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would think either a mixture, like putting those two characters together, or having like a super fucking weird lunatic guy play Hawkins, where he's super creepy and all he wants to do is get Billy to laugh, you know? But like in a fucked up way.
What's his name from all of Neil Blomkamp's movies?
Sharktooth Copley? Something like that, where he's super fucking weird. All he does is talk dirty, and he's always like doing stupid shit. Like he'll like decapitate a frog and like make the frog head like sing to a song or something.
Sharktooth Copley would do that. Is the pick for that one. Because
like he's a demolitions dude. Like he's a little bit fucking weird because like the dude likes fucking with bombs. Like that's not someone. That's not a normal person. You know what I mean? Like that's not someone you want to fuck with. And he's obsessed with making the Rock's character laugh because the Rock's just like he doesn't want to do that. But like we'll laugh at like with Mac and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the Mac and him will have a good time. Just like Billy and Mac did. Like we'll have a good time together. And then but like. But he will never laugh. He never laughs around Hawkins. But Hawkins is just all he wants out of life is to make Billy laugh. You know what I mean?
Sharlito Copley is the pick.
Just fucking insane. And then for the more tech guy, I would want someone who would, and this is where I get to like I like your idea, because he's scrawny and doesn't seem to be a threat. Would be the one who survives with like Gerard Butler. So it'd be those two, and Gerard Butler is like. Fuck me, I'm going against this ultimate fucking, like, predator, like, this hunter, and I have this fucking guy, like, he can't shoot, he does, like, and then, like, he'd be the one that engineers the fucking traps and shit like that. I like that dynamic, but I don't know who I'd have play. I'm like, it would have to be someone super fucking, super, like, you would not expect to see, like, for him to survive all the stuff he does.
So basically, like, a first time into action for this character.
Yeah.
He'd be the
comic relief in a way, but, like, obviously, yeah, Charlton Copley would be really comic relief. The nerdy kid
from Road Trip.
DJ Qualls?
DJ Qualls and Predator.
Without the wheelchair, if, like, he isn't legit.
Yeah. He's more of a producer like he is in Hustle and Flow.
Oh.
First off, amen for bringing up Hustle and Flow, I hate you for bringing up Hustle and Flow. You shamed yourself.
But I like that ideal, but like in my head, I still think because Predator, I want him to be a bigger, physically imposing than anybody in the cast. But I keep picturing like Gerard Butler and The Rock, or Joe Manganiello, or like that kind of combination going after him at the end, I think would just be one of the most epic fight scenes.
Well, yeah, but I would like to see the dynamic of like the one that because the reason he would be there is because the Predator wouldn't see him as a threat. So every time the Predator came to throw down with him, he would be like, "You're no threat to me."
And just kind of like walks off.
Like he does with the girl from the original. Like he's never attacks her. It's not because she's pregnant. She's just not. He's a big game hunter. She's not a fucking big game. She has no threat. Even when she has the gun, you can see like, even though they take the gun out of her hand, he's not going to attack her.
It could be a thing too where he kind of engineers all the traps and everything.
That's what I mean.
Once the Predator starts realizing what's going on after running into Trap and Trap, he takes him out and then that sets up final fight scene. Yeah, dude. There's so many good people you could cast. I don't know who would be the one that's not really actiony. You would want to go with that tech guy, but
there's gotta be someone out there we can get.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the idea?
Paul Rubens.
Wow, Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens as the Predator.
As the Predator.
If there was water involved or drink involved, that would be a spit take.
That's awful.
Well,
so what were your original thoughts when you heard about this? Like, how'd you picture it going down?
Kind of more like you. I want to see just a straight up remake. It doesn't have to be the same character names, and doesn't have to be the same scenery or anything like that. But it's
ideal for the characters.
The same idea.
It all takes place in Antarctica.
And they find a pyramid at the end.
I was kidding.
I want you to never be here again.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Real clean cut, smaller dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can get down towards the end, you think maybe he could actually do something. But you could see him being like, the whole movie, he's analyzing everything all the time. He's just going analyzing stuff, almost like a disorder to a point. But always proves to be helpful.
Super OCD, like he wants to keep everything clean. He doesn't want to touch shit like that. I can see that.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah, story wise, so pretty much like what Mike had said. I mean, I don't have really anything to add to that. Although the two characters that I had thought the actors that could be them is in place of Carl Weathers. You could have Michael Ealy from Almost Human, an amazing actor, and I think he could fill into that role. But I do like the other actors that you guys have mentioned for him, and Michael Ealy could probably fall into the role of the
nerdy, the more tech guy.
You know, he's not you know, this big, huge
big
guy.
Dude,
He hasn't done any action movies, so you don't see him yet in that role.
Yeah, because apparently nobody watched Almost Human, so.
Just three people at this table.
I know.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
And then for Billy's role, I was thinking Jason Momoa. Because he could do exactly the similar thing.
He's the same thing as The Rock.
As The Rock, but he's just not as big.
No one will ever be that big.
Yeah.
And functional, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then there's other people, too, if you don't want to fill out. Because I like the idea of having two meatheads, for lack of a
better
term.
Why I love Terry Crews in it as well, and he could actually do Jesse Ventura's character because
with the Gatling gun kind of
fucking
scenes.
Crazy as hell.
But you know what made me think of Magnanello is one, Sabotage. I really like Sabotage, and
because his character's a scumbag, like super scumbaggy in it.
And two, the Nerdish podcast he was on when he did Jesse Ventura's impressions from, and he did all the lines, and he did it so good. I was like, he should be in a Predator remake, like. And then we find out we might get a Predator remake, and it just seems like too good to not do.
He's gonna be done with True Blood, so he'll be open to do anything he wants.
Be a superhero finally.
I was almost Superman. He was almost Batman. So
goddamn True Blood just ruining everything for him.
Yep, it's true.
So your opinions, Cody? Your thoughts?
I fucking freaked out. It was when I saw the news. It hit late. Monday night when I was still up before I went to bed, and I knew I couldn't text anybody because Mike had already gone to sleep because we were texting about something else and he had passed out and like he'd literally not answered back, so I knew he wasn't awake. So I was like, I can't text him. Joe's not gonna respond because he knows to put his phone on do not disturb before he goes to bed, because he
Joe
knows
the bed at 7 p.m most nights.
Eric, I had no idea what he was doing, but I was like freaking out. I was like,
it's funny because I was gonna text you and I didn't know you were still up.
So like I saw it, and then like figured. It comes Tuesday and it's fucking everywhere. Like Tuesday morning, and I got up, I got ready for work, I'm buzzing around on the internet while I was, you know, getting ready, wasting time before I left, and it's just every other post on Facebook, every other post on Twitter, Shane Black to remake Predator, Shane Black to remake Predator, old Predator cast to remake Predator. I was like, fuck, like, I want to talk about this so bad, and I can't text Joe because I'm going to see him at work. I can't text Mike because he's probably asleep still. Eric's most likely, he texts me on my way to work. So I'm like, I just want to talk about this so bad. I get to work, and we're fucking busy, and I was like, I can't, I'm going to quit my fucking job right now, and I want to talk to my friends about their fucking Predator remake. And then Mike just goes, hey, why don't we podcast this? I'm like,
Every now and then he comes
with a good idea. So I was like, all right. And then literally good half of like after we got done eating last night at Be Wild, we were just like jaw-jacking about
like I said, and I didn't go because I closed last night. But immediately after I got home, I popped in Predator and I was like, yes, there's so many cool things you could do with this remake. Like,
but to the point, like I...
So you instantly thought reboot, right?
Well, because when I originally read it, I saw reboots in my head. I automatically jumped to, oh, what could they do with a Predator movie now? Like in my head, I saw not I want to see a remake of the first one, but like a retooling of the first one. You know what I mean? Like you kind of what you were talking about, but more of like super fucking like ridiculous.
And I like the ideal behind this word is a bad word, but a realistic in terms of not a lot of CGI, not a lot of
practical effects.
Yeah, practical effects, real fight scenes,
but
real
something
explosions.
Else, something
like
else
that.
You could do too, because like I said, the thing we liked about Predator 2 was you had the conflict of the drug wars going on. What if they even did like the conflict in the Middle East right now too? Because you could drop in and that would be the setting for all your soldiers. would actually be.
Oh, it's actually a, like a yeah. unit well, of really misfit guys. Yeah.
And you could play
which
it
is
off.
What,
and,
I mean, kind of what they were in First Predator anyway.
And the same thing. Not only would he be taking out, you know, the American forces at will, you'd be hitting the terrorists and anybody that was a threat and just fucking them up, too.
That'd be you'd pretty, do something like yeah. that, yeah.
And so what I was going to say is, so Mike got me all giddy when he said at the end, you see you have the two survivors, and they go to head-to-head, and they would defeat the Predator. What I thought immediately after you said that, like, in my head, and I was going to you, like, nah, I want to say something right now, but I was waiting for you to finish. So you do that, right? And, like, so you lead up to the sequel. So at the end, they do, like, a Danny Glover thing where, like, all of a sudden, like, they're like, oh, fuck, we killed him, you know what I mean? Like, instead of detonating, they barely get away from the explosion stuff, which would still be cool to have, but, like, I don't want to, like...
It erases the Predator. It doesn't erase the yeah, like, characters yeah, who like, could go on to...
Yeah, so, like, so my idea, instead of doing that, because, obviously, if you change it, you don't want to be the same ending from the original, because, like, you don't want people to go, well, that's... You didn't have to think of an ending. You just copied what they did. So they defeat him, you know what I mean? Like, and, like, the nerdy guy can... be fucked all fucked up because obviously like we were saying like he eventually became more of like a like oh he is a worthy opponent I'm gonna get him now so the Predator tries to go after him because he knows he's weaker and he's the one that's setting all the traps up so you can kind of fuck him up maybe get stabbed in the stomach or something almost die type thing and he has to like somehow disarm like the fucking nuke you know and so they do it after defeating him like he chops his arm off or something and he runs off with the fucking handle like this on it and he's trying to defuse the bomb and he can finally get it it'd be super awesome right and then you got a fucking one-armed Predator fighting Gerard Butler with a fucking like staff and shit like oh it'd be super awesome right so then they finally kill him they disarm the bomb and they're like oh and then it starts to beep and they're like I thought you disarmed it and all of a sudden in the trees above uncloak all these other Predators and you have like this scene at the end of Predator 2 where Danny Glover gets the weapon right what they do is they like all of a sudden get like picked up by a net and then pulled into a ship and the ship just takes off and then like the post-credit scenes you can see them like in the hull of the ship and then as the ship uncloaks on top of a planet you can see a like they can drop them down and it would be like another planet that they got put onto to be prey so it's like kind of like
they're worthy
yeah of. Like they're worthy to move on like to test and then
so would, like they're testing humans instead
exactly
of-
Yeah.
Oh, so what if they are testing, yeah, they want humans. They need humans yeah. for eventually down the road a war against xenomorphs. What?
Right? Yeah, it'd be super awesome, right?
They do that, or what if they survive and reverse engineer their weapons for a future one?
Well, no. See, the thing is, so when you go to the sequel, you could give them Predator weapons. So they would get fucking.
So they're
like
working
the
with the Predators, essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
so they're like, hey, you survived. Now survive. Like, we want to test you.
We
like,
see how long you can survive.
Yeah, we want to see how good the best who defeated one of ours would do in this new challenge. And they go in and they could do like a multiple Predators thing. And then you could have.
But you have to. It has to lead up to a threat that the Predators have that need.
Well, I'm going
to
get there in a second. So when they do, so when you come off, so you start this. Like, again, I'm going to the sequel, whatever. So you go to the sequel, right? And so you see these two, and they have all these outfits with all these weapons. They have these. And like, they set them down in one of those little boxes, and it's full of fucking weapons, you know? And they're like, oh, I got a fucking hand blade, like the Predator does, you know? No, like, helmet with this thing, that would just be weird. But, like, they have the blade, they have a staff, and, like, they have a, like, blaster or whatever, right? And then they go out, and they're, like, sort of, like, trying to figure out, they know, they think they're going to have to be fighting against a Predator, right? And they, you know, see traces of them, you know, like, skin bodies, whatever. And then they see another pod. And then that's how you cut that, like, that scene, whatever, and, like, what, not, like, in the second one, you jump, and then there's another group, and all what it is they're actually, and to maybe your point, there was a Predator in all these different parts around the world, and they took the best of the best who ever defeated a Predator and brought them to the planet, so you get, like, a type of a Predators type thing, but again, testing the best against the best of the Predators.
But you could put them up to, like, to your point, it would eventually, if it led to, what if there was an accident? And you now have the xenomorph aliens and Predators mix, and that's the threat that the Predators can't take care of by themselves. And that's why you need the humans. They created an accident somewhere that they have to clean up, and you have this now super species of Predator alien that's just destroying things.
All kinds of cool shit you could take this to, man. So like, and you can even when, like... Like, if you want to set it up a little bit quicker, too, like, when they get pulled up into the other ship, they can cut away and show them in, like, a holding cell type of thing, and then pan the camera and see, like, another person in this holding cell and a different kind of
yeah,
person.
So, yeah, like
so
that's what I'm saying.
You know, like they're all from different regions.
And, yeah, and then like you see an Adrian Brody. I'm just kidding.
And what if there's other aliens on board that are
different
than just the Predators and the humans?
I would like to see that.
Yeah, you can introduce a third
more than just having humans because you can introduce all kinds of species.
Well, you don't even need
because
to do aliens,
I don't
really.
I don't want to see the
everyone
you know,
that would be
the humans are the key to this war. And you're
no,
like,
no,
what,
so, no. So
maybe,
what I was thinking,
maybe it's because everyone's going to be directly affected by these aliens that have been released. So
yeah, no, but what I was thinking in my
but that's
like,
what I could see better than just having you know it's a planet of you know they captured all these humans.
No,
it's
no
like,
so
but,
what you would see is those ones
those humans
would be aliens exactly.
You could put alien other aliens.
We're here to get the best of the best.
Yeah.
These
from the
species,
universe,
these planets, because
yeah.
your planet's
that's
in
what
trouble
I mean.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not so. It's not just humans. You see, there's a bunch of humans, yeah. and then you find like on there, you, there's other aliens. So it's like
Drax is there and shit.
Oh. No, I put my weapon down. You fucking win. Oh,
look at that little raccoon. Isn't he so cute? Oh my god, that's a gun.
Break a few eggs on your planet, but to get the
why are the trees moving?
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, sort of thing. Ah, so exciting.
Here's why we took you. Here's your power suit.
Not even that, dude. Just like, here's some weapons. Let's see what you can do.
Here's your power suit and just a giant forklift thing.
Dude, it's a fucking power loader.
That'd be crazy.
So exciting.
But just do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Keep it true to the first two.
Yes. Well, I think that's why I think it's so important and so key that Shane Black is in because he was in the first one, and obviously it's gonna be it's a passion project for him.
Well, you can see he has a passion for that kind of stuff. Like with Iron Man 3, obviously, like did super well.
And that's another thing too. He's been with Robert Downey Jr. a couple times. How awesome would it be to get Robert Downey Jr. into a role? He could be the leader. The leader doesn't have to be.
Oh, he could play Waylon.
I'm the dude playing the dude. Dude,
this is another dude.
No, yeah. He could play Waylon.
He could play Waylon for sure.
He could be,
you could find out the CIA guy, the Apollo Creed character that was sent in, whoever decided to put it.
Even
make
if it's
him.
Just a cameo of just
yeah,
him
like you
at
could
the
see
beginning
him, like,
talking to him.
Yeah, like you could see like this before you see who's talking to him, you can see someone holding a little display monitor or whatever that has him on it. And he's talking about like, you know, all this stuff and then like, you know, goes into it or whatever. Or even like you hear... he patches into the network and then like he gets the signal through and that's when you see him on the screen or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. It'd be super awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then like going back like earlier we were saying like the Dylan character would have to be older. Like that's still racking my head, dude. Like who could be like an ideal of like could have been like the mentor to the guy that's leading the group now and led them astray. Like that's important to
I think no well it would be cool that way. I'm thinking more of like a someone they don't know, so they don't trust them. You know what I mean? Or they hear bad things, like or about him, like, oh, this guy's, you know, he's more of a, he's ruined a lot of people's careers or something like that. You know, like he's this like bottom rung type thing. You know, like,
yeah,
why would he be on our mission? And it ends up being that he's just there.
Yeah,
to,
but again, if
you know,
depending on how you're writing the story, you may not even need to go that route.
Well, that's true.
Well, what I was thinking about is because he in. The first one, he's literally the reason they're there. So what happens if he was the there? He had its own.
What about
like,
William Fincher?
Yeah, he's older. Yeah, you can
he's
just
older.
Him, yeah,
he plays that
Liam
kind
Neeson.
Of like, or Liam. Oh
Neeson.
Yeah, because
he
had to go into the jungle too. Like, yeah. Or you don't have to, but if he does, is one of those guys who you know, like a villain, can go in there and actually get his hands dirty.
Yeah,
too.
He's doing. Yeah. Like even like William Fincher, that would be good too. Yeah. Or what's the dude you like that's in, always in those a bunch of the bad movies and stuff? But he was also in Captain America. Neil McDowell or whatever his name is. The dude you like all the time. He was in like Street Fighter Chun-Li movie.
I never saw Street Fighter.
I just think it would be cool.
He's the dude with the chops.
What
from
about
Captain America? The one you like? Said you liked. Where's the bowler
with the
hat?
Chops?
Nope,
Neil McDowell, right?
Dono, yeah, something like that.
I just think it would be more.
Yeah, dude,
cool
you were talking about it in a podcast.
As a like they're just there as a circumstance.
I don't know
the
that
conflict
name.
They're already in,
or I don't remember that name.
Rather than, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's what again. That's what I liked about the second one was, Danny Glover wasn't tricked into showing up anywhere. It was, just happened to happen there. Like I said, they picked some kind of conflict that. Everyone just happens to be there for whatever reason, and that's where the Predators choose to come down.
Yeah, and you don't even really have to set up a sequel right away either, too. If you just go, well, yeah, you want to set the seeds for it, but if you want to do like they should have done originally, do a part one, do a part two similar to the part two and then bring them together at the end of that one for the part three.
Light bulb.
What?
Okay, so same idea. Your two survivors, they get pulled into a ship, right? And they see another pod with another human in it. And it cuts away. That's the after credit scene, right? Then the sequel is that dude from the pod and the other one, and he's like in Afghanistan or something like that, and he's the survivor, that one. So that way you don't have another two survivors, you have one. And so like he's the another one, and then eventually when you go to the third movie, it's a team up of them. Like those are the those two groups, they're the only ones that beat their predator. And so they're the predators from the other areas that we found out that were around.
So you keep it a smaller, tighter group.
And then so when you go to this alien planet, this next testing ground, to Joe's effect, you find these other groups, and they're alienoid or humanoid aliens or aliens that have been brought here to then fight, like to see who's the best of the best of those. You know what I mean? So you only have two groups of humans.
There can be only.
Yeah, and then like one's a Highlander.
Yeah,
and, like,
one's a Highlander.
He chops off fucking like
a T-A.
Sean Connery shows up.
Yeah, he chops off a fucking alien's that's head. Like he powers up and all of a sudden gets like a squid arm or something like that. And he's like, this is not worth the killing of another thing. But it'd be cool. So like, you could do a sequel where it would jump to somewhere else that happens at the same time. And then when you go to the third movie, be those two would meet up and obviously they would like. No, they could share their bond and then realize that they are there to fight along, like not just another alien scourge, but these other groups of aliens that were basically the same thing happened to them on their homeworlds. You know what I mean? Like,
or what about the ideal of like, because at the second one, you know, everyone comes
frozen
out
frozen and one of them wakes up with an alien baby.
No, and that's not good. Fucking anyway, so what if they go the route where same ideal, the first one, second one, you know, that they show it like that, like, you know, they get brought up, but what if they just let them go to the effect of how the second one played out? They all the uncloaked predators show up, and instead of taking them, they give them the other guy. And then you go into the other guy's movie, but the three people are just left there, and then the predators are coming again. It's like giving them a fair chance because there's going to be a shit ton of predators coming soon, and like kind of letting them know, get ready because you're obviously the one
still
the
on
toughest.
Earth, you mean?
Yeah. So the third one could set up invasion type thing, but. It's a test ground for the predators. It's nothing like personal or anything. It's not like
they're not coming to invade. They're finding these champions to then test their.
So
champions
now
against.
They send their guys like
three or four or five predators.
You know, I have five or six predators. This is your test. These three guys because they fucked up a couple of our guys. So now you can keep them on Earth. You don't have to go to an alien planet. You don't have to think of new alien species. You just send the predators, instead of testing themselves against xenomorphs, they're testing themselves against humans' best. And so that could be the accumulation of the third one of a cool trilogy is they're outnumbered, but they've been thinking about it. They know it's coming for like whatever reason. They can communicate it to them somehow. You can figure that part out. But they know it's coming, and then they get ready. And of course, a couple of them probably die off. Maybe all of them die, but they protect the planet, you know, and that kind of stops any further fucking people coming to the planet. Something like that. But I think it'd be cool also just to keep them on Earth so you don't have to go. I feel like you can really lose some steam trying to create an alien world and trying to create new aliens and getting too sci-fi with it. I think they might.
You're trying to go.
I like the ideal. I just don't think Hollywood can pull it off. Like, it gives it too many moving parts for them to
fuck Hollywood. We'll do it. I'm just kidding. We won't do
it. We got $40 right now. I don't think that's enough.
No, I bought drinks.
We have $38. Shit. We have a 20 left, guys.
Maybe.
I don't think that's enough.
And
I have a pack
about
of gum.
About 57 cents.
Pack of gum? You talk all these actors into doing it to split.
Hey, it's factor five.
Ooh.
It's some spicy gum.
But yeah, I think that'd be the route to go.
Creepy, anyway. Don't do it. I will turn your mic off. So yeah, like if you guys who are listening couldn't tell, we're kind of excited. Like it's like finding out that like the remake that's happening, the person that's doing it cares. Because that's what just fucking happened. You know, you're not given you know, fucking Buffy Vampire Slayer to fucking Tim Burton. You know what I mean? Like, you're not taking something that someone loves and giving it to someone who's probably going to make it fucking weird.
Yeah.
So I just want to make money. Let's do this as quickly as possible and get it out there.
Yep. So Buffy the Vampire Slayer is going to be played by a boy who is a transvestite.
Ha!
In love with himself, herself, itself. Sorry, Ezra's
Kiefer Sutherland's still in it, though.
Kiefer Sutherland? That's Lost Boys. Rutger Hauer.
No, Sutherland's dad. Sutherland. Donald Sutherland. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I was thrown off too.
I was like, that's Lost
Or
Boys,
Kiefer
bro.
Sutherland does Donald Sutherland's role.
Dresses exactly like him. Yeah. Well, Donald Sutherland's still alive. He's in the.
He's 98 old years old, though.
Fair enough.
Mike rounded up, I think.
To 98. 97.3. All right, but yeah, that's as you could tell, I'm super stoked about it. I think there's so many cool ideas. I hope it comes out awesome. I'm pretty sure it will with Shane Black.
A lot of man juice sprayed all around this room.
A lot of worth thick underwears.
And yes. I'm wearing sandals, so that's not good.
Well, they don't look like sandals anymore.
No.
Look like semi-opaque shoes.
Gross. Yeah, we should end it on that note.
Yeah, we just
on
did.
On cum sandals.
So
Burma socks.
Cum sandals.
So a little bit like just to tag the end of it. So a little business again, free podcast. If you can, iTunes, please
rate
us and review us. We need the push to get on there. We do have about 12 reviews right now as of the recording.
12
of this
ratings,
podcast.
11 reviews.
11 reviews or written reviews, 12 actual star ratings. Someone thank you for the star rating, but you didn't write a review, so people can't get your impression of it. But that's okay. We'll take what we can get. But just if you could do that for us, go by the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/comesnaturallypodcast. If you go on there, like the page. All the info is on there for the YouTube, the iTunes, the direct RSS feed. I will update it for the info for the Podcatcher app if you use Android. I still have not got anybody who has a Windows phone, so I don't know what apps available for that yet. Sorry if you are one of the three people that own one of those phones. I will try to get the info for you. But if we could go on there, like the Facebook page, give us a review on iTunes, and then that's it, man. That's it for this episode of the podcast, I guess, really. So comes naturally, we are...
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. Our special guest again was...
Eric.
All right, guys.
Eric,
what's
your real name?
Eric.
Say Spit Take Munger.
I'm not going to say it.
That's Spick-take-monger.
Yep. So that's it for this episode, guys. We will talk at you later.
Peace.
Later.